Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and we're back in the studios with Captain Carl. And Carl's been out on the water all day today, and we're going to kind of talk about what happened, where it went, and what's all going on with everything. And enough of the sliding guitar. Come on, Frank, shut up. All right, I'm shutting up. Okay, and we have Captain Carl here with us. Yay! Okay, and the crowd goes nuts. They love you, Carl. They just love you. I can't tell you. I don't know what it is, but, you know, man, they're excited. Okay, everybody calm down. All right, we got them calmed down. All right. So, anyway, what happened today? What was going on out there?
Well, the guys I had on the boat first, they've never caught snook. So we started out the day, we went to this area where I got a big school of redfish sitting out in Turtle Bay. And I was like, we should be able to get some snook there. Well, the redfish didn't want to cooperate. We caught quite a few snook, nothing big. I think mainly the problem was is because I was throwing those bright green bobbers. And the area that I'm fishing at right now, it has that really thick lettuce grass on the bottom.
Now, hang on. You go out, and you're out there in the Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and you're fishing. How deep is the water you're fishing in?
Ooh, probably knee-deep, maybe.
So you got about maybe 18 inches of water to work with. Yep. How much grass is on the bottom?
A good foot.
So you've only got 6 inches of clear water. Yep. You got 12 inches of grass, maybe 6 inches of water over the top of it. Is everything pretty clear out there right now, or is it kind of murky?
No, way back in the back, it's pretty clear.
So you're dealing with real clear water, fish hiding in the weeds and the grass getting warm from the sun heating up in the grass. Yep. And what did you take for bait today?
I had some white bait. I had some cut ladyfish. I had shrimp. I also had a couple crabs.
Okay. Starting out the day looking for the shrimp, what was your first choice of bait?
Well, first thing this morning, we were targeting mainly snook, so we were throwing a lot of greenbacks. Under a float.
So you're putting them under the float. Now, you said the float was a problem. Why would the float be a problem?
Well, I mean, I've been fishing on that school of redfish for about a week now, and I've been having a little hard time with them. I'm not sure if maybe those bright green bobbers or the white bobbers may be spooking them because it's such shallow water that's really clear.
And so all of a sudden, this thing magically appears on the surface, kind of freaks them out a little bit.
Yep.
So, today, did you have better luck on the snook?
We caught a lot of snook, nothing big, but we did catch a lot, you know, 20s to 24 inches.
So, were you using the floats on them?
Yeah, I was using the floats.
Was it the green float that you had been using?
Yeah, it was the green float.
Okay, so the green float kind of worked okay on the snook, no big deal.
Yep.
So, you guys caught snook, you had a good time, mm-hmm. Now you decided to go for the redfish, it was in a different spot?
Well, no, we picked up and left. We left them alone. We went a couple other spots, caught a bunch of trout, caught a bunch of snook.
How are the trout hitting on?
The trout, actually, to be surprised, I'm catching the trout on the bottom right now.
On the bottom?
Yep.
How are you
rigging? All my big trout I'm catching on the bottom.
All right. Well, how are you rigging up for the trout?
A pink Rockport Rattler with a shrimp on the back of it.
There you go. I mean, I got to tell you, we do push the Rockport Rattler. A, it does catch fish. B, when you come to the tent sale and you meet Charles and Vicky, you'll understand. It's nice when you can buy a good product from really nice people. They're just as nice as they can be. And, you know, we wish them all the success in the world. But what really is nice is it catches fish.
Yeah. I mean, I could care less what company, what lure, what jig head I'm using. As long as it works, I'm gonna use it every day.
Right.
And the Rockport, it catches fish.
Well, that's how you got hung up on it was, you know, we all went, okay, let's try it and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, ba-bang, yep. Catching fish. So that's really cool. Now, were you doing anything special to get the trout interested?
I cast it. Because I had to cast with my guys today because they weren't the best casters, which is not a big deal. So I casted the rods out there, and I let it go to the bottom. I tell them, wait 20 seconds, and then start bouncing it straight up and down.
Now, once they bounce it, you wait another 20 seconds.
Yep, bounce it twice, and then let it sit 20 seconds, bounce it twice again. I mean, we were catching good trout, 24s, 22-inch trout in middle of Turtle Bay, just
That's
drifting
cool.
The grass flats.
That's great. Now, you had the boat, you go upwind, and you come drifting back with the wind, letting the jigs trail out behind you.
Yep.
And, I had a question for you there, and I don't remember what it was. But anyway, Yeah, what's interesting is a good captain knows when to assist his clients and when not to. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard because you get on some boats and the captain wants to make every cast for you and it gets annoying. But when you need the help casting, the captain should be there to go, here, let me get this for you. Zip it out there and then while it's in the air, handing the rod back to him saying, okay, here's your thing. Because sometimes not everybody fishes the way we do. And making some of the casts that we have to make down here to get into the fish can be real tough on your first, you know, few times out.
Yeah, I mean, especially this time of year because our water is very clear. So you do have to make some long casts. You can't be next to the boat right now with that crystal clear water because, I mean, the fish, if you could see the fish could see you from double or triple.
I will tell you, one of the things that used to make me the most nuts in the world is I'd pull up and I'd be sitting in about 12 inches of water, 10 inches of water with the boat, and about 30 feet in front of us, you just see the grass going, then it would drop into a hole. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't see the bottom of the hole. Nice, deep little hole, some grass in there and everything. And I'd rear back and zing those baits right up into there. And then the guy on who was my customer on the boat would reel it up until he saw the bait. He wanted to watch the bait move around. I'm like, now, there's your bait, right? He's like, yeah. I said, can you see it? Yeah, yeah, I see it. It's right there. I say, do you see any fish around it? No, not right. I said, so maybe if you bring it in and let me cast it back out into the hole, if you leave it in the hole, you got a good chance of catching bait. Oh, okay. And I'd throw it back in there and get it back in that spot, right exactly where it needed to be to catch the fish. And I'd turn around and look, and there he is.
Reeling it in.
It's back right where you can see it. I'm going, You like that bait, huh? Yeah,
and don't get me wrong.
Pretty bait.
There are certain areas that you can fish that are, you know, real close to the boat, like your Mayaca cutoff area and really dark water. You could fish close to the boat because the fish can't see as well in that dark, murky water.
Right.
But when you're in that clear water, you do have to cast a little bit farther away from the boat to catch it, get the fish to bite.
You got
to
get away from it because if you can see them, they can see you, and it's all over. Yep. These fish are not stupid. They get educated from the time they're 8-10 inches long, the first times they start getting caught and released. And after they've been caught and released a few times, they may not figure much out, but they can figure out what the heck a boat means.
Yeah.
That boat's a pretty big issue. And that's when you really got to go to the fluorocarbon, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using all fluorocarbon this time of year. I will switch to mono if I'm up in the Mayaca cutoff or in the upper part of the harbor.
It's too expensive to run mono all the time. When you don't need it, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But the clearer the water, the more important it becomes. Yeah. Bends light the same way as water does, so it literally is just a hole in the water as far as the fish is concerned. It's not like a piece of mono or a piece of steel or anything else. You can't really put a definition to it. So when you have that clear water, that's when you go to the fluorocarbon. It's not more abrasion resistant, it's not better, it's not stronger, it's just more invisible, and that's the whole key behind it. But now you did the snook, and how long what time did you get out there for the snook?
We got out there about 9:30, 10 o'clock,
which is about perfect right now.
Yep.
Because you're just starting to get a little warmth of the water, the sun's cooking a little bit, and then what? Would you about noon go to the trout?
About 11 o'clock we switched because it was slack tide at that point. So I was trying to find more moving water. And I knew if I moved to the open water, there'd be a little bit more water flow.
Gotcha.
Because of the wind. So, I mean, we started targeting trout. We caught some sheepshead, some snapper. Well, then later on in the day, I was like, come on, guys, we're going to go back to that same spot we were at earlier. And they were like, oh, we didn't really get nothing there. We caught all the snook already. And I was like, well, we'll just go and go try it. I know there's some good fish there. We pull up. I casted the one guy's rod out. I flipped the bail and handed it to him. And second I handed it to him, gone it went. The one thing that I did change up, though, is I used those clear crystal, those see-through bobbers.
Now, you're using the water-fillable casting bubbles at this point. You've taken the green bobbers off. And now, we had talked about this, and I had mentioned painting them black. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that'll help. But you kind of one-up my suggestion and went to the clear plastic casting bubbles that really don't have any presence in the water.
Nope.
It's a clear piece of plastic.
Yep. And you can fill them up with water so you can cast farther, too.
You fill them about half full of water, and you get all the weight of that water while it's in the air. But as soon as it hits goes into the water, the little bit of air you left in it actually acts like a bobber. Mm-hmm. And you can't really see them out there. It's tough to see, but the fish don't, that's the whole idea.
It's pretty much like bottom fishing with no bobber on when you're using them.
Right.
You got to go off of feel. You can't just sit there and focus on your bobber and wait for that to go down, because half the time you're not going to be able to see that thing out there.
Right, it's too clear.
But, I mean, it really made a world of difference today when I switched those clear bobbers. I mean, it was one after another, double hookups. I mean, we were catching all upper slot reds and oversized reds, one after another.
Go on, are you posting that one video, guys with the doubles on your Facebook? I'll try and get this linked up so you can go on his Facebook page and watch that video. It's actually, it's a lot of fun, you know. On the left, take the rod up, get over the guy. You on the right, get underneath him, you know, go back. You know, you get, when you get these big fish on, it's... my son says I'm a racist, so okay, I'll be a racist. A Chinese fire drill. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's racist or just old slang, but I think anything we said 30 years ago is now racist. So anyway, but yeah, it's crazy. You go from one side of the boat to the other, you got to duck under each other's rods. Yeah, and
it gets crazy.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, everything I put underneath that crystal clear bobber, I'm not sure what they're called, cast bobbers?
Yeah, it's a casting bobble. Casting bubble.
Everything I put under it, a greenback, a cut ladyfish, a cut crab, a cut mullet, they all got hit right away. The only thing I didn't put on it was a shrimp, which those were at the bottom of the well, and those were the last things I had to scoop for.
So what, you know, it doesn't matter. Now, one thing I'm curious about is you were still fishing in around 18 inches of water.
Yes.
How far did you suspend the bait below the bubble?
Maybe 6-8 inches.
So you're keeping it just above the grass?
Yep, just above the grass. I mean, they can't see that bobber, so they're not going to get scared away from the bobber or nothing. That's why you could keep that bait so close to your float.
Now, how did you attach the bubble to the line?
I haven't figured it out totally yet because it was the first time I used them today, but what I did is I ran it through the hole that it slides up and down on.
Put it through the hole in the peg.
And I made my leader line where I tied my line to line knot. That's how I stopped it from going all the way up.
And that's perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you might do, we'll have to try and find some clear beads. I'm going to ask Sean from American Fishing Wire to send us some clear beads. And if we can, you can put your knot in a clear bead, that would stop that bubble.
Yep.
And if you let the bubble slide forward to the bait while it's in the air, you're going to throw it farther because it won't be tumbling. Yep. So allowing the bobber to slide all the way forward right to the hook when you're casting will give you that distance you're looking for. And then when it hits the water, the line slides through the bubble and stops. The bead stops the bobber. The knot stops the bead. And that would work out perfect. But I'll have to get Sean from American Fishing Wire to send us some clear beads.
And another thing that was cool is about those clear bobbers is every time we had a hookup, the middle pin would pop out. And then there's nothing, you don't feel no extra weight of that bobber on
so
it at all.
When the pin pops out, it releases the water inside of the bubble. So you're not dealing with the added weight of the water inside the casting bubble.
Yeah, I like them.
So now Robert does that with tarpon.
That's
he purposely rings it backwards so that when he does get a hit, it pushes the stem out, releases the water inside, and it can't be used against him while he's fishing.
Yep.
So I guess you were talking to Robert, huh?
Yeah. Of course, I asked you first yesterday or the day before, and then I asked Robert because I know you guys have been around a lot longer than I have. So,
well, I think Robert one-upped me on that one. That was definitely the right way to go, definitely the right thing to do. And I forgot all about the bobbers. Just never dawned on me, and you know, it just goes to show you're never too old to relearn.
Because
you know, 15, 20 years ago, I would have immediately probably grabbed that clear casting bubble because I used them all the time.
Yeah.
And Robert took that up and one-upped me going to tarpon with it. And because you got to admit, with a thread fin, letting that bobber slide all the way down to the thread fin, you'd be able to zing that forever. Mm-hmm. And then when it hits the water, if you fill it full of water, it's nothing.
Yep.
But if you leave just the tiniest bit of air in it, it will go away from your bait. It will float back to the top. Your bait will bring the line through there. Yeah, I think you guys are onto something. I think that's going to be a big, big thing.
I mean,
I'm going to order a few hundred of them because this is going to be big.
They worked really good in that really shallow water. I mean,
you know, I'm going to call the company and say, can you make one of these? I'm going to send them a popping cork and say, can you make one of these that looks like a popping cork?
Now, that would be good.
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
That would be really good.
That would be the bomb.
Because, I mean, these fish, they've been frustrating me this past week. And I've been throwing everything freelining at them. And
well, the problem with freelining would be obvious. You're going right into the weeds.
Right into the grass. Your bait sinks, and then it's tangled up in the grass, and you're not going to get a hit.
If it just sits there, if you get lucky enough to find a little bit of an opening, you're okay. But most of the time, it's just in the muck and the weeds, and there's that slime stuff in there right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so between the slime and the grass and all the rest of that stuff, it'd be next to impossible to get a fish to hit that free line bait.
That's what I was dealing with for a week on these fish. I was frustrated.
And then when you throw the bobber and it's got any kind of color, any kind of presence, gone. Spooks the fish off.
Or you could watch them all just raise up and take off. And it's like, oh, there they
go. Oh, that had to be maddening.
Oh, it's been frustrating me for the past week.
How does it feel now?
Oh, it feels great.
It feels good now, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The guys, I mean, people were like, weren't we here this morning? Why didn't we catch any of these this morning? I was like, well, it might have been because of the green bobbers. I mean, probably that's what it was, but I mean,
I don't think so. I think if it, because did you get any snook out in the afternoon?
No.
Or in the morning?
In the morning, but we were fishing more on the shoreline.
Okay.
Because, and it wasn't grassy in the shoreline.
Yeah, because the snook will hang out more towards the edges, and if there's a lot of potholes, they'll come out in the middle, but they're not big on that heavy grass.
Well, there's no potholes in this section I'm fishing at all. It's just straight thick grass.
Straight thick grass. Well, those reds like that open water, real thick grass, where the snook don't like that much. Mm-hmm. They want to hang over towards the edge, usually where there's a little bit of clear water. They don't like that real heavy. You would think they would, but I've never found them in it too much.
No.
It's always got to have some openings. And over by the trees, you're going to have usually a trough, less grass in it, mm-hmm. and they'll hang out in that.
That's exactly where we caught all of our snook, up along the shoreline where it was less grassy. And then the afternoon, we went back to the same area, but we stayed out a little bit more. And then we started hooking red after red after red.
Here's why I think what I told you with the black would not have worked any better than the green. I was just sitting there going over my mind and thinking, you know, how bad information I gave you. Redfish have very, very, very poor eyesight. I mean, it's really poor. And they locate the prey first by seeing a shadow coming down. They don't really get to see what it is. That's why gold works so much better than silver on the redfish, because it's darker, it creates more of a shadow. The real clear lures, you know, the bright silvers and stuff, especially back in the harbor, don't do as well on the redfish because it doesn't create as much of a shadow. And with their eyesight so poor, as they see something coming through the water as a shadow, and that bobber on the surface would create one heck of a shadow. And I think that's where I was going wrong, and where you originally went, and then I was actually making it worse, because black would have been even more of a shadow. So yeah, you guys did the one thing that I didn't think of, and that you guys really did great. That was excellent thought.
I mean, one thing I will say is the majority of all of our fish are moving up in the harbor right now.
Really?
Yes. That's what I've been finding out. Like, that school of fish, I got another school of redfish on the east side. They were down by Pirate Harbor. Now they moved up quite a bit already.
They're about halfway up by now.
Yes.
Now, I'm hearing a little bit more about trout up here, a little bit more about some of the other fish. I'm hoping this trend continues. One of the reasons they're staying down so far is the rain. I mean, we're getting between us and Orlando, there's a lot of rain happening. Yep. And the river went up 3 feet the other day. In less than in like 12 hours, mm-hmm. it jumped 3 feet. And I think that fresh water being pushed down, then it starts to get salty, and then you get hit with another big push of fresh. I think that's keeping them down a bit, keeping the bait out too.
Yeah, but I mean, what I've been noticing is everything is moving up in the harbor.
Now, have you been on the west side?
I started over there today.
Yeah.
And then I went over to the east side on the way home.
Gotcha.
But I mean, even on the west side and on the east side, everything is moving up.
Cool.
Makes it a nice day. You ain't got to drive as far.
I was going to say, I live in Port Charlotte. Well, actually, I'm up in the Heights, so, you know, I got to come down river to get to the harbor. I like it as close as I can get it. I'm cheap. We all know that. I don't want to spend that gas money.
I mean, we caught a lot of snook in Micah cut off this morning. That was the first place we went to. We caught a lot of snook in there. We caught a few small little rat reds. We got some nice snapper out of the Micah cut off too today. But I mean, everything that I've been noticing.
You were out for a long day.
Yeah, well, I was out 2 hours before my trip out catching bait. And then I got enough bait, went, picked my people up. I was actually sitting there for a half hour waiting, but
that's a good day. Yeah. I can remember being 5-10 minutes late because instead of taking me an hour to get bait and do everything else, it was, you know, 2 hours that I got to drive back from wherever I was. God, I hated those days. Because you're sitting there, I mean, it's hammered all the way down as much as you can get. You're going, come on, go faster.
And surprisingly, bait is moving up in the harbor pretty good, too.
Really?
I mean, where I found it today was at the Harpoon Harry's marker.
All right, so it's up here by the marker twos.
Yep, it's almost at the 41 bridge.
Wow.
Maybe
that freshwater's bringing them up. Maybe I'm all wet. Now, I was just wrong when I talked to Carl. I guess I'm just wrong again when I spoke, because I would have thought that freshwater pushing them back a little bit, but sometimes they'll come up to find all the stuff flowing downriver.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know if maybe it had to do with all that wind that we had. Maybe they were trying to get away from all that wind.
Could be.
I went to marker one, and I didn't pick up nothing on my GPS, my depth finder. I threw twice at marker one, didn't catch a single thing. I came up, circled marker two, nothing at marker two. And then I went to the Harpoon Harry's marker, which is number two, we get to.
We call it the Fishville Fork.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, as soon as I circled it, my whole depth finder lit up. And I was like, ooh, there's something down there. Threw, and I caught plenty of bait.
Yeah, I would come out, check around 41, do the bridge, because I'm coming from upriver. Mm-hmm. I'd look around the bridge, then I'd hit the markers going out with the Fishville, and then head into marker two, and if I didn't hit anything, I'd head into Port Charlotte Beach. If I didn't hit anything there, and then it's starting the long runs. Yep. Then it's looking at one down on the east side, Jug Creek, and oh man, I hated those mornings.
Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah, that's a long ride before you ever get your customers. It's, you know, but I learned to be on the water while it's dark, and at first daylight's your best shot of getting all your bait and everything right as the sun's coming up.
Before everybody else gets out there and catches it.
Yep. So, yeah, that was... I'm so glad I don't do charters anymore. I got to renew my license again. Oh, God.
Yeah, I got to do that next year.
Yeah, this year I got to have it in, oh God, I got to look it up, but I'll be on the grace period. I got a year grace, but mine's up either in May or June this year, so.
We did see a couple big cobia today on the Cape Hayes bar.
Josh Olive got a big one today.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't see that one yet.
You know that, how are you liking that new prototype star?
Man, I tell you what, I thought that thing was going to snap like a twig today on them big redfish. It surprised the heck out of me. That thing held up great.
And Josh got his big cobia, well over keeper, on that same prototype from Star.
Really?
Yeah, they're not cheap. It's going to be an expensive Star rod. If Barry decides to make these, you know, you've got one. I let Josh Olive try the other one, and he got his first keeper cobia, and I'll bet you it's 40-some inches. He got it on that, and it's about the same action as you got. He says, I thought I'd really want a heavier rod. He says, but holy cow.
I know, that's the lightest action rod I have.
Yeah, and I mean, when Barry, the owner of Star, that's Barry, he owns Star Rods, and he still does all his own development and everything, but when he brought those in, I'm looking at him going, man, I don't know. I don't know that's if this thing's going to be able to take it, but wow.
Yeah, I'm very surprised how much backbone they actually really do have. I mean, that you can see in the video that rod was doubled up by far, and it had no problem at all reeling those redfish and snook in.
I got to tell you right now, if you're doing charters, you need a pen reel and Star rods. That's really the way to go.
I mean, they're two of the best companies out there. The new conflict, that's pretty much the only reel that could stand up to my abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, I blow a lot of stuff up, and those conflicts, they've actually been holding up very good for me.
Yeah, I'm real happy with the pen and the Star combinations. That's, I would say, 8 out of 10 rod and reels we sell are pen reels with Star rods. Yep. And, you know, pen makes some nice rods and all that, but there's something about a Star.
I love them Star rod. I wish Star would make a better reel, and I wish pen would make a better rod.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be nice to do it, but I got to tell you, I think you got to agree. It's when you want somebody to have something nice and in a reasonable price range. Well, there's nothing reasonable anymore. But you know, you grab the Penn Battle or the Conflict, because that new Battle's pretty much it's two bearings short of a Conflict.
Same thing, different handle.
Two bearings short of a Conflict. But you go over, and then you walk over, you grab a Star Stellar Light, and they go, wow, this is nice.
I love them.
Yeah, it is just nice. Now, you're fishing about 2-3 grades up with that new prototype. That's an expensive one. That's not $100.
A lot of mile rods are the Stellar Lights, and I tell you what, I love them Stellar Lights. They're $100 rod, and
it's amazing, and the warranty's beyond belief. But, you know, it's always cool. So, what we learned in school today, boys and girls, was when you're fishing very shallow, very clear water, forget the popping corks, forget the foam floats, forget the red and white bobbers, forget all that stuff, and go right to a casting bubble. That's B-U-B-B-L-E, bubble, casting bubble. And
they work. I proved it to me today.
And the nice part about it is you can fill them with a little bit of water, so they act as a bobber, but that water inside, when it's in the air, is very heavy. Let it slide all the way down to the bait, and then just have it come back to your knot once it hits the water.
They cast out pretty good when you fill them up with a little bit of water. They get out there pretty good ways.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our lesson for today, boys and girls. Captain, if you were going to give somebody some advice, we got the weekend coming up, and people are going to want to get out and get fishing. Captain Carl, what's your advice for somebody who just wants to have some fun and catch fish?
I mean, if you want to catch trout or pompano, Pyre Harbor, there's a lot of good trout over there. There's some pompano running over there. Alligator Creek also has some good trout and pompano.
Now, are you doing those popping cork, freeline, rockport rattler?
Rockport rattler on the bottom.
Gotcha.
Turtle Bay, if you just float just past the big oyster bed that's out of water all the time.
Right.
If you float past that in any direction, you're going to catch a lot of trout. They might not be the biggest ones, but, I mean, you're going to catch a lot.
You'll have a lot of fun.
Yep, you're going to rod bent.
So all three of these spots, light action, 6 to 12 rods, 4 to 10 rods, light line. This is not somewhere where you want to take your 10 to 20-pound class rods. You want to have some light rods, really have some fun with it.
Have fun with it.
Some Rockport Rattler jig heads. Any color as long as it's pink, right?
Yeah, pink. Pink's the way to go.
You can use any color you want as long as it's pink. Yes.
I mean, if you're looking for snook, look between the islands right now on the east wall or Turtle Bay. Just, you know how there's a cut between the islands?
Uh-huh. Well,
there's going to be a lot of water flow going between those islands. And snook, they like that water flow right now. If you're early in the morning, fish to open water more, because it's really cold right now early in the morning, so your fish aren't going to be up underneath the mangroves as much.
No, right now is the time to get out and wake up in the morning, go down to the smokehouse, have a nice breakfast, enjoy your coffee, but don't get hung up on...
It's not summertime fishing where you got to get out there at crack of dawn.
No, just let dawn's crack go right by and relax and enjoy the morning.
Yep.
And then come in, get a little bit of shrimp, maybe a frozen ladyfish, and or some blue crabs.
Yeah, we do have crabs now, too.
Yeah, we got blue crabs now. But, I mean, get a little mixture of bait, and then go out, see if you can find some white bait somewhere around, because it is starting to show up, and see what you can do about having some fun. But right now it's about mixing and matching, because you caught fish on a lot of different things.
Yeah, we caught fish on probably 6 different types of bait today.
So I would say it's not as critical, but every once in a while you run into that day where this is the only one they want. You need to have a little bit of everything.
Yep. I mean, it's always the best bet, because, I mean, if the snook aren't playing, you could always go play with trout. If the trout aren't playing, you could go mess with redfish. All the redfish that I've been finding, they're either in very, very, very shallow, like sandy bottom, or they're in that really thick lettuce grass. That's where all the redfish are I'm finding right now.
And if you're fishing in the lettuce grass, make sure you take some casting bubbles with you.
Because
we're going to be working up some display rigs for you to show you about this, and we're going to work on a video series. As soon as I can find somebody to run the camera, I know how to run the camera, and I know how to do the presentations, but my hands shake too bad. have those motor tremors now, and I can't hold the camera still enough. So as soon as I can find somebody to run the camera, we're going to videotape this stuff and let you see how it's all done. So we're going to have a video page up on like Radio Fishing, except
that's cool.
It'll be video fishing.
And a lot of people like that.
Yeah, it's on the way, and I know how to do it. I've got it all down, and nice short video clips on what to do and how to do it. But all that's coming on fishandfranks.com here this year. Hey, we finally got the on-the-water fishing reports worked out.
Yeah.
So now we get left is this stuff.
The
so
video.
The video fishing's coming next. And anything else you got tonight, Carl?
No, not really. Get out there and get a rod bent. You're never going to know how to do it unless you're out there trying. Experiment. Now,
Captain Carl, name of your business.
KB's Backcountry Charters.
And your phone number, Carl?
941-565-7325.
And if you click, I got a picture of Carl's card. It's right next to this interview. Just click the card, and we're going to try and get you... that'll take you to his page, and I think we're going to try and get a link up to his Facebook page so you can look at some of Carl's photos and his videos on Facebook. So, well, thank you guys so much for listening to Radio Fishing. We're back. I mean,
yeah, we're back in full charge.
Yeah, everything's going on. Remember, March 14th, the most exciting day in the fishing industry, right here at Fish and Frank's.
Don't miss out.
The tent event. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.